in here of our lives. And they might be wrong at times. Some people suffer from too good of a reputation. I've had that problem off and on throughout my life. People have assumed things about me that I knew were not true. If you write a lot, and I have, people can assume that you're smart. And so people make that mistake. If you speak eloquently, then people sometimes get the mistaken idea that you're knowledgeable or intelligent. And that's happened a time or two. If you're handsome or beautiful, people can assume that you're just as nice on the inside as you are on the outside. I've never had that problem yet. There are some people in the scriptures, a number of them, whose lives are described in a way that suggests people all around knew that they were that way. If you remember Dorcas, Tabitha also her name was, who was from Joppa, she made clothing, and that clothing was given to the needy. And when she passed away, they even brought some of the clothes and laid them out there to show people just what kind of a person she was. I often wonder, what will they put out there when your funeral or my funeral happens that would indicate the kind of person we are? There's a gravesite over the near where I live. It's where I had Bethel buried. But I've walked around in it, and there are places where other graves are, and people have had bottles of whiskey and various other things that they wanted people to remember them by that were part of their lifestyle, and after leaving this earth they wanted to leave behind that reputation. And then there were some widows in 1 Timothy 5 when it speaks about which widows were worthy of care and support from the church. You had certain qualifications. They had to be 60 or older, and they had to have raised faithful children and been good wives and so on. And one of the things, they had to be known for practicing good deeds. So we can't go through life without leaving behind some kind of a reputation. We will be considered to be the kind of person that we developed and that we made ourselves during our lifetime. The passage I want us to look at is found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Philippians 4 and verse 5. Well, let's start with verse 4. The Apostle Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice." Now notice verse 5, "Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near." And then he goes on to say, "Don't be anxious, but be prayerful." But that fifth verse struck me, and I had read it many times before, but most recently in reading it, I was struck by the fact that it says, "Let your gentle spirit or your gentleness be known to all men." In looking through the scriptures and checking a number of translations, I have not found any other quality that a Christian must have that it says in the Bible, "Let everybody know that you've got it." It doesn't say, "Let your accuracy of Bible doctrine be known to everybody." Though, of course, being accurate in Bible teaching is good and right. It doesn't say, let your opposition to sin be known to everybody. Let you be known for a fiery person who denounces sin in all forms. It doesn't say, let your success in soul winning be known to everybody. And we all know that we should be good witnesses and do our best to try to reach someone for Christ. It doesn't say, let your eloquence in speaking or your capability as a teacher be something for which you are known by everyone who knows you. It doesn't say, let your generous giving be known to everyone. In fact, there is an indication that our giving is supposed to be so private that maybe other people wouldn't even know that we were that generous. But you know, of the 9 spiritual gifts mentioned in Galatians 5 that are said to be gifts of the Spirit, one of them is gentleness. And that one, you and I should be known for by everybody around us. And I got to thinking about whether that's what people know about me or would comment about me, that, you know, Bill Paul is just about as gentle as anybody could come. I'm not sure that that's true. I'm not sure that my life has demonstrated the kind of gentleness that I see in the Scriptures that needs to be in the life of every Christian. Here are a few translations on that passage from my collection. Phillips says, have a reputation for gentleness. And that's basically what it means, let your gentle spirit be known by all men. So, a reputation for it. The New Revised Standard says, let your gentleness be known to everyone. Well, that's very similar to my New American Standard. The New Century Version says, let everyone see that you are gentle and kind. Everybody that knows you, everybody that you're around, members of your family, people that you work with, people you go to school with, wherever there are people who see you, they should see gentleness, because that's a quality of the Spirit, and it's one for which we should be known. The Comprehensive New Testament says, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. That's somewhat like the New American Standard. Today's English version, show a gentle attitude toward all. The Common English Bible says, let your gentleness show in your treatment of all people. Now, we don't do these things to show off, but we certainly should show the qualities that God's Spirit wants us to have. The New International Version, many of you use that, says, let your gentleness be evident to all. There is a man in the Bible said to be more gentle than all the rest of the people on earth. That is beside Jesus, of course. You know who that might be? Well, it's a passage of Scripture that says, and the man Moses was exceedingly gentle above all the men being upon the earth. So, he must have been known as a man gentle. And the people of all the earth, that is all that he knew or that knew him, observed that quality in his life. Quality of gentleness is strongly emphasized in the New Testament because it is so valuable and yet oftentimes so elusive. You know, there's things that stand in the way of being a gentle person. Because when you get angry, you'll not be mistaken for being real gentle if you get angry a lot, or if you show pride or arrogance. That will not suggest to those around you that you are very gentle. Or impatience, or jealous, or envious. There are a lot of qualities that work against being a gentle person, and they're the very ones that you and I have to battle with sometimes almost every day of our lives. Well, of course, being gentle because Jesus was gentle ought to be a primary reason for acquiring and practicing that trait. It says in Matthew 11, 28 and 29, Jesus speaking, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle." Now, some translations will use the word meek, and gentle and meek are very much the same quality. Jesus said, "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Anytime you fail to demonstrate gentleness under stress and pressure, at that time you're not being very much like Jesus. And you and I know that. We can tell when we're practicing the life of Jesus or when we're living in a way that he didn't. Now, it must be possible to be that way, because Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:1, "Now I, Paul, myself urge you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, I who am meek when face to face with you, but bold toward you when absent." He was appealing to his readers on the basis that Jesus was a gentle person, and for them to practice that quality in their lives. Gentleness is said to be an imperishable and precious quality. It's something very valuable. Maybe that's why it's so rare and so elusive to many people. We're told in 1 Peter 3:4, and this happens to be describing Christian women, but it certainly would apply to all people, would it not? It says, "Let the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God." That means he's talking about what quality is to be evident, what we're supposed to adorn ourselves with, what we're to decorate our lives with in such a way that as people see us, they are attracted to that quality. And it's called imperishable. A gentle and quiet spirit is just not something that comes and goes, and something that can be easily discarded. It's imperishable. As long as we demonstrate and practice it, it will never fade away. And I was impressed by the fact that the New Testament teaches that gentleness is a must. It isn't just a nice thing if you've got it, but we must have it. And I hope that this morning, as you hear these words, you will evaluate your own life in terms of whether or not your life is demonstrating the gentle spirit that God wants us to have. Colossians 3:12 says, "Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must," it says you must, "clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Now, all of those kind of interact with each other, don't they? They all are not identical, or wouldn't list them as separate qualities, but they kind of go together. A patient person will be someone who demonstrates gentleness. If you have humility, then your life will demonstrate being gentle. So it's important. We're not just saying, folks, this is a good idea. See if you can do it once or twice this week. We're saying this is a quality that God expects us to demonstrate and have a reputation for it. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Our reputation should be that of a gentle person. You know, a lot of our efforts to try to help other people and win them fall to uselessness because of the lack of that one quality. Listen to this passage. It's in 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth. You know, a lot of effort, diligent, hard effort, has gone in to try to get people to change and to believe differently and to act differently, and yet it doesn't succeed. And I wonder if we ever stop to analyze why that is. It may well be that this passage, which says, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, and perhaps God will give them repentance to a knowledge of the truth. So gentleness is often difficult, because we are all prone to sin. And that sin stands in the way of our demonstrating the qualities of Jesus. Do you know very many people who have a reputation for being gentle? If someone mentioned their name, would the first thought come to your mind? Oh yeah, I know that person. They're so sweet and gentle. I've had a few people mention that about someone. But I don't know if they mention it about me as often as they ought to, because it may not be true. So I'm sort of, you know, like they say, when you point at someone, you got four fingers coming back to you. And I really want to be better known for being a gentle, humble, kind person. Don't you? I hope you do, because I know God wants you to be that way. What is one of the most difficult qualities for you to practice? If we were to just list a number of things that the Bible teaches that we're supposed to do or be, which ones of them would you find the most difficult? Would this practice of gentleness be one of them? We need to ask ourselves that. One more passage of Scripture is found in Ephesians 4:2. And I ask this question: what trait are people reminded of when they think of your qualities? This passage says, be completely humble and gentle. I notice that it makes it say completely. We aren't just supposed to be partially that way, but we should be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Oh, I hope that we all take home today the idea that this tenderness, this humility, this gentleness be something that we cultivate. It must be something we have some control over. We can't say, well, God didn't give me the gift of being tender and humble and patient or gentle, but it's something that we can pray about. In fact, the very next verse, right after it says in Philippians 4:5, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Then it says, be anxious in nothing, but in prayer and supplication, let your request be known to God. Give them to God in prayer. So if you lack the spirit of gentleness and feel that you could be better in that area, then here seems to be the remedy. Make that a matter of prayer. And if you have a meeting coming up and it's going to be stressful, you need to be praying that God would give you the spirit of gentleness so that you act more like Jesus than like the others who are maybe unsaved people at that meeting. So prayer is certainly a way that you can do that. May the Lord bless each one of us, that as we build our reputation, as we live so in such a way that the world around us gets an idea of what kind of person we are, may one of the things that shines through and is very evident to those around us, and it says to everyone around us, may that quality be a gentle spirit. Let us pray. Father, bless that your word might sink deep into our hearts and that we might take it to our very inner being and seek to be all that you want us to be. Father, make me like you, because we know that the world then will be able to see the power of the gospel at work in our lives. Thank you for Jesus, who was meek and who was humble. And as we learn from him, may one of the things we learn and practice is his meek and quiet and gentle spirit. In the name of Jesus. Amen.